Hello, my homekins. Finally, an update to the February 3rd Missing Persons Day event in San Antonio, Texas this previous month. I will spare you the details on what happened afterward, but I'll explain why I took a February pause to release new episodes on stories and cases from Hands Off My Podcast. Let's just say I'm still recovering from my vehicle breaking down on the way back from the event. Right in Troy, Texas, having to find out that the part of my car was under an unofficially unannounced recall, dealing with rentals and still managing to remove and clean out our old home and unpack into the new villa, a little inside joke with me and my wife, all while working extra hours on the night shift and scheduling interviews with 4 new families, nonprofit organizations, and other POC advocates. Did I forget? Also, putting a little few hours of sleep in between. March is a new page in my personal and podcasting life, with my first wedding anniversary coming up this month. And in April 3rd, 3 years with Hands Off My Podcast. As they say, we've come a long way, baby. The experience during the event was such an eye-opener. I greeted Nina Brooks with a huge hug. Finally meeting the CEO of Search and Support San Antonio in person.
Search and Support San Antonio says they are here to provide support, bring awareness, and raise visibility for missing persons cases and unsolved crimes.
In these types of crime,
Nina Brooks is a founder and president of Search and Support San Antonio and helps families like Khadija's.
If everyone comes together with their skills, their resources, you know, and united, we help the families.
But in these types of situations where we
the goal for today, to unite San Antonio.
It takes a village and everybody can do something.
I experience.
Especially because she says these cases are happening more and more often.
Another family requested our assistance and another family, right? But it was like always like in the tents. Now it's just we lost track, to be honest.
And finally meeting Kendall Mills from Season of Justice. I've always had a hard time being in a group of people. Thankfully, Robin Johnson, who is the aunt of Armani Dante Morgan, volunteered to join me for this Missing Persons Day event. Robin was a special guest on episode 34, which you can listen to on any podcast platform as well as YouTube for the extended interview. Robin and I ensured we were ready by preparing the vending table with a new table cover, banner, and cards from Darkcast Network. Robin and I were wearing Hands Off My Pod design shirts with pins from A Hateful Homicide, supporting trans lives. We walked around the other vendor tables in the room, Season of Justice, Crime Stoppers of San Antonio, NCMEC, One Pill Kills, and many others. All around the room against the wall stood missing person posters or banners. Lena Kill.
December 20th, 2021, 5 p.m. was the last time Lena Kill was seen playing in the playground of her apartment at Fredericksburg and Blue Mill Road. Around 7 p.m., San Antonio police were called and an Amber Alert was issued. 2 days later, December 22nd, the FBI deployed their Child Abduction Rapid Response Team and the Islamic Center of San Antonio announced a $75,000 reward for leads. On Christmas Eve, police released video of Lena. December 29th, a local search team joined authorities in a field search near her apartment. 3 weeks later, January 5th, 2022, an FBI dive team flew in from Washington, D.C. to search a greenbelt near Babcock and Huebner. 6 months into the search, Chief William McManus told KSAT there's no leads on her whereabouts. On the one-year mark of her disappearance, SAPD released new video of Lena from a home security camera. She was seen in the playground minutes before she vanished. In February 2023, an age progression sketch was released in hopes of generating new leads. 2 months later, Lena's father volunteered to take a polygraph test at the FBI field office.
Pauline Diaz.
December 7th marks the 13th year Diaz was last seen in an HEB parking lot off Southeast Military Drive.
She got into her truck, she drove off, and never to be seen again. She just vanished in broad daylight.
Diaz's truck was found abandoned in Wilson County. The family says Diaz was in the process of filing for divorce when she disappeared, and her estranged husband, Pedro Ruiz, has been named as a person of interest, but no arrests have been made.
The first few days, we couldn't believe it had really happened. It was so traumatic.
In 2018, authorities searched a property owned by Diaz and Ruiz, but nothing was found.
It's time for a breakthrough. And if you know something, just be brave enough to do the right thing. It takes courage.
Some have told the family she's not coming back to give up.
Choosing to give up is a lot easier than to stay in the fight. But we choose to continue fighting because we love her.
As Paula and Juanita continue their fight, they say the recent vandalism has lit a fire under them to continue searching for answers.
Amalia Garza.
Amalia's mother, Sylvia Gonzalez, says only a mother knows the hurt and pain she is feeling and not knowing what happened to her daughter. But it's through that pain she remains determined to find her.
As a mom, I need that answer to know and feel that peace within me to find her.
Sylvia Gonzalez says the last time she spoke with her daughter, Amalia, was March 1st of 2018, after she was heading to a party with her boyfriend, Steven Rendon. Amalia was supposed to call her the next day, but that call never came.
As soon as I hear her name, sometimes I just start crying because I know, like, I don't know what's going on with her. I don't know if she's hurting. She's crying for me, like I'm crying for her, or if she's hungry, or if she's being tormented.
2 years after Amalia disappeared, San Antonio police arrested Rendon, charging him with holding a woman against her will and sexually assaulting her for nearly 2 weeks. Rendon has never been charged or been named as a suspect in Amalia's disappearance, but Gonzalez says she believes he knows where her daughter is located.
I'm 100% he's responsible. The reason is because as soon as she went missing, he never even had called me and asked for her.
Gonzalez says Amalia's disappearance has taken a toll on her emotionally, causing her to suffer from depression and anxiety. And holidays like Thanksgiving are tough to celebrate.
It's an empty chair that, you know, when is she going to fill that chair up? You know, when is that space going to be filled with her, you know, her presence, her laugh, you know? Her smile.
James Preston Davis.
Pastor Angela Walden says she still prays and has hope that her son James will come home. She also hopes someone watching tonight will give her the answers she so desperately seeks.
I cry every day. I cry every night before I go to sleep.
Through tears, Pastor Angela Walden shares the story of her 18-year journey spent looking for her son, James Preston Davis, who was last seen leaving her home on the city's northeast side on March 2nd, 2006.
When he left the house that night, I never thought that I would never see my son again.
Davis was a graduate of Edison High School. His mother says he was a popular student who was caring. She recalls one incident where he gave his bus money away and walked home.
Because, Mom, this man, he was hungry.
After Davis went missing, Walden spent months looking for him.
And I became animate about finding my son. So I would go down to where the homeless hung in the bridge and pass out flyers.
Walden had to eventually move to Alaska to be with one of her daughters, but kept hope of finding him.
I would go back every year, every chance I could, and look for James. This is my son. This is what he looked like when I last saw him.
The Italian Missing Children Institute created an age progression image of what James would look like today at 55. Walden says when James disappeared, she was broken and depressed. Over the years, she has learned to better cope with her feelings, and finding James would mean the world to her and give her some closure.
I just want to know where he is. If he's gone, somebody please tell me. Let me go get him. Let me spiritually put him to rest.
Khadija Derry.
Khadija's family say they feel this was a targeted attack, calling it a hateful crime.
Was she the target? I have no idea, because nothing that she did in her life would grant her to be a target of such a brutal crime.
Khadija Derry is described by her family as an energetic college athlete with a love for the game of basketball. Derry devoted her time working with youth and athletes at Sam Houston High School, where she was an alumni, and had a smile that would light up any room.
She was loved, and she was loving, and she would give you that same love in return.
Derry's mother, Kaquanda Perkins, says on the evening of December 6th, she got a call telling her Derry's car had been shot in front of her home in Converse. Frantically, Perkins drove to her house.
As we proceed to come around the corner, I see my daughter laying on the ground. I run towards her, and in running, an officer stops me and says, "Ma'am," and I just screamed, "That's my baby." I just fell to my knees, and I just started asking God, please, just please help us, God. Please let her survive this. She doesn't deserve this. Why? Why? That's all I remember, just yelling, why? Why, Deja? What happened, Deja?
Derry's uncle, Kevin Shandy, also recalls arriving at the home and getting the news his niece was gone.
Nightmare. Definitely a nightmare.
Perkins says her daughter's death has changed her physically and emotionally, causing sleepless nights.
It's emotional pain. It's mental anguish. I can honestly say I have anger. I have hatred.
Perkins calls her daughter her angel. She says she normally would drive them everywhere, but on that fateful day, she did not.
I regret the fact that I wasn't driving, because as a mother, I would have taken all of those bullets for my baby to still be here.
Khadijah's family say they don't feel safe in their own home, wondering if her killers will come back. They want justice, so they are asking for the community's help, hoping someone will come forward with information.
Ray Richardson.
It was pain. It was horror. It was sadness. It was remembrance. It was like your life flashes in front of you.
No one has been charged with gunning down a 25-year-old father of five on the city's east side. Ray Richardson's body was found near East Houston Street. Richardson's father sat down with our Devin Clark and expressed the horror he's been dealing with ever since.
He was a good boy. They were focused on his kids and his baby mama.
It's extremely hard for Carlos Richardson to talk about his firstborn without breaking down.
No, my son is gone, that I can't see him.
It's here on Canton near North Onslow where 25-year-old Ray Richardson was found shot multiple times on the night of May 9th.
My son was financially sound, and that brought a lot of jealousy from people, certain people. The individual or the individuals who did this to my son, that was part of the role in it, I'm almost for sure.
Carlos admits his son wasn't always headed in the right direction, but that he was working to make a change and raise his family right.
He went to church and testified what his role was and was changing, man.
With dreams of being a businessman.
We would discuss how he'd be getting ready to invest in something, another house, you know, to remodel and make and sell, or a business of power washing.
Now, instead of looking forward to his entrepreneurial endeavors, Carlos is anxiously waiting for police to close his son's case.
Y'all will be caught. I believe in SAPD. I believe in William McManus since he came here.
That was our Devin Clark reporting. Now, a preliminary police report says a witness saw a small white car leaving the scene. If you have information that can help crack this case, you're asked to call police or Crime Stoppers at 210-224-STOP.
And Megan Gonzalez.
While a murder case remains unsolved in the town of Atascosa.
A 20-year-old Megan Gonzalez's body was found burned in a field. Ken's 5's Mike Jimenez talked with a woman's father about their search for justice.
Every year, Megan's family comes together at her gravesite to mark the day her body was found. Her father, Eddie, says spending time with her gives him some relief.
I feel like half of my heart has been gone.
Eddie Gonzalez says the Christmas holidays are difficult as he remembers the time he would spend with his beloved daughter, Megan.
So me and my daughter were always decorating. We decorate the ornaments. We talked about what gifts we were going to buy, to give to who. And we spent a lot of great times on it. And now that the holidays are here again, I miss her.
Some say that time heals all wounds. But for Eddie, he says the past 4 years, the pain has become more intense as he struggles to understand her death.
Her room, I have it the same. I said, no, she's going to come back. I'm going to leave it the same. But as the years go, I'm realizing, no, she's not going to come back.
Megan Gonzalez was reported missing in November of 2019. Weeks later, her body was found burned, dumped in a field. in the 12,000 block of Wisdom Road in South Bexar County. The case remains unsolved. Her father says finding who killed Megan would give him some peace and relief. He says getting justice for Megan is a promise he has made to her and prays that day will come.
I was hoping that by now maybe we would have had justice, but it's been, I've seen all the hard work that investigators are doing, and hopefully one day, you know, somebody will come forward and just turn themselves in.
If you know anything about Megan Gonzalez's case, there is a $5,000 Crime Stoppers reward for information that leads to an arrest. And remember, you can remain anonymous.
Just to name a few of the tens of thousands that are missing, murdered, and unsolved cases in San Antonio alone. Nina was so kind to have a separate room for me to do an on-the-spot interviews with families who attended the event. Rob and set up ourselves to cover the vending table, talking to passerbys on Armani Dante Morgan's mysterious and unsolved story, and how we met, and what this podcast can provide, while I became more focused on the families in the interview room. I saw a large group gathered in the hallway, a few children petting the therapy animals in another room across from me. The children and others in the hallway were wearing yellow or white shirts with the same picture of a woman and the name Khadija Dairy printed on it. I approached one of the women that I believed to have a close connection with Khadija. Through the mixed chattering and the boasting voices of the hallway, I asked her name. She responded, Dejanique. I asked if she was close to Khadija, and she said she was her sister. I introduced myself and asked if she had a moment to speak with me about her story through my podcast. As we sat in the interview room, I noticed that my microphone audio wasn't working, nor was my wireless mic backup. I had decided to record through my phone instead. Even though our conversations were at least 20 minutes, with Dejanique Dairy, oldest sister of Khadija, who was murdered on December 6, 2023. Reverend Angela Walden, mother of James Preston Davis, who disappeared on March 2, 2006. And Sylvia Gonzalez, mother of Amalia Molly Garza, who went missing on March 1, 2018. Only one of the three were re-recorded, and only 5 minutes of it. Here's the audio clip.
So thank you so much for even coming to do this interview. I greatly appreciate it, and I wanted to share your sister's story, correct?
Yeah.
Can you tell me exactly who that is, and first off, who you are and your sister, and kind of the stories on how, what had happened, what occurred that's brought you here to this event, the Missing Persons Day event?
I'm Dejanique Dairy. I am Khadija's oldest sister. I am 28, she's 22. The reason we're here today is because on December 6th, Khadija was brutally murdered. She was gunned down. Why? We don't know. By who? We still don't know. And so she's actually not a missing person, but she is one to be recognized at this event today because her murder hasn't been solved. No one has been charged. No one in custody has been charged. So that's why we're here today, to help solve my sister's murder.
Questions I actually had, and I want to make sure I pronounce her name correctly. Is Khadija correct?
Yes.
Okay. I'm a stickler in regards to people see
my really announcing it, right?
They call me Castillo, and it's horrible, but it's okay. How would you describe Khadija's personality?
Khadija is very energetic. She was the light of the room. Khadija was the one always smiling, dancing, making sure we had a good time, recording, picture taker, the TikToker, you know, that was Khadija. She had a love for sports. Khadija was very athletic. She received a full ride scholarship to Iowa Western College basketball when she graduated. Khadija was known for basketball and track. Khadija was very fast. She did play volleyball for a short amount of time, and I mean, she'll excel in anything she did. That's just the type of person she is.
So you probably looked up to her, or the other way around. I mean, being siblings, you are supporting each other in
right.
every way in life. So that's amazing. Wow.
Yeah, well, being the oldest, it was mainly sort of being in the stands, being there to cheer her on, to right. support her, guide her in any life-making decisions, any goal she was trying to reach. You know, that's what I always dreamed of, being an oldest sibling. You know, it's like mm-hmm. being a second mom, you know, being the best friend. And that's what being an oldest sibling is.
Right. Mm-hmm. I feel the passion, the compassion that you have mm-hmm. and the bond that you have with your sister just talking with you. I can just see it mm-hmm. in your face. That's one of the things that I probably would cherish even more if I was closer to my sisters. Right. I don't have that relationship. But it's so good to hear people who have that and that you're out there getting her name out in the public
right.
like 3,000% no matter what. No matter what, and to have your family here supporting in every way, it's amazing. It's good to see that because there's so many other people who
and that's our goal, support one another. But
yes,
unfortunately, you know, this seems like it brought so many people closer together. However, we are a supportive family. We are always there for other people, and we want Khadijah to be remembered for who she was, and we will not let the case go cold. You know, we want to find justice however we can, which is why we are coming to these events. We made a Justice for Khadijah Facebook page. And, you know, we want people to know, although she was gunned down, she was innocent. You know, we don't know why somebody would have done that to her. So we don't want people to think that Khadijah was involved in any type of senseless crimes or harm anybody, because she wasn't that type of person. She wasn't drama. She would not do anything. Khadijah was always with family. She was not a troublemaker.
Thankfully, the families I met were completely understanding of the technical difficulties during the event. I am grateful to say that Reverend Angela Walden and Sylvia Gonzalez scheduled some time to speak with me again. You will get a new episode of our conversations fairly soon. While I was wrapping up the conversations with Reverend Angela, I quickly peeked my head into the vendor room and noticed Robin standing in front of the group speaking on Armani's story and how people can help with the change.org petition. Robin announced me once she saw me in the back. I shyly yet swiftly approached the front of the room, apologizing profusely as I smiled to all the people that turned to see the commotion from the back. I smiled and squeezed my way around the chairs and tables. All I could think of is what I said to Robin at the beginning of the event. If they call us up, I need you to be by my side. Lo and behold, it was the other way around. I wanted to be by her side. Robin provided such a beautiful oration on why she came, what this means to her and Armani, and how I helped her make her voice be heard. Luckily, out of all the interaction Robin and I had at the Missing Persons Day event, we created new friends and acquaintances and more connections with the people and organizations that attended. I will say, Robin Johnson, you were my rock. I thank you from all my heart for what you have done, and I am really proud to call you my family.